All right, so good morning again. Sorry it took a little time to get myself together up here. I got a new Bible this week. So we're in the series, The Shepherd King. Our passage today is going to come from 2 Samuel chapter 6. It's printed in your bulletin. We're not going to read the whole chapter today because that would take a long time. So we have the verses that we'll kind of highlight toward the end. But Pastor Jeff last time gave a good message around lament from 2 Samuel 1. And today we're going to see that the ark is going to come into Jerusalem, and we're going to see what that means for us as the people of God today. So I'm anxious to get to the text with everyone. So if you would read with me in 2 Samuel, starting in verse 16, we're going to read through the end of the chapter. When you have it in your bulletin or you have it in your Bible, say amen. Amen. So turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I know you had a long night last night, but you need to go ahead and wake up because the Lord is about to get ready to speak. This is the word of the Lord. Hey, that's what you make it long. Got to get everybody woke up today. Amen. All right, read with me, brothers and sisters. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins to each one. And then all the people departed to his house. And David returned to bless his household. But Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants, female servants, as one of the vulgar fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. And David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord, and I will celebrate before the Lord, and I will make myself yet more contemptible than this, and I will be abased in your eyes. But by the female servants of whom you have spoken, by them I shall be held in honor. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. That's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, this is a challenging passage this morning. And Lord, I just pray that you just let Anthony Johnson just decrease and you increase, Lord, to minister to your people, Lord, so they can hear your word. And I just pray that in your name. Amen. Amen. It was the early 1990s. Believe it or not, I was in the second grade around that time in the early 1990s. Now, I was a... Thank you, Eric. I was in second grade around that time, and I was a good second grader, and you know, but I had challenges sometimes giving my teachers the proper reverence, you know. And so I'm gonna tell you about a time that happened. So now it was 60 degrees in Georgia. Now, when it's 60 degrees in Georgia, for those of y'all knowing that's from the South, you know, you have your jacket on. Here in Chicago, it's like if it's 60 degrees, it's good. But in Georgia, so we had our jackets on. It was a nippy day. And so it was after school, and this kid, I don't even remember this kid's name, but we're going to call him Daniel. So me and Daniel, we were playing a game where we had a broken pencil, and Daniel would throw this pencil, and then I would go get it. And what can I say? When you're a boy, it's just something about throwing things and going to get it and then getting it again and then throwing it again. That's just something fun about that. We're simple people. Just and so that's the game we were playing. Now, when you're in after school, the only problem was there was other kids around. And as you can imagine, even though we weren't trying to hit the other kids, the pencil started hitting the other kids. So the teachers caught wind of this, and being the good teachers that they were doing their job, they confronted me, of course, the one picking up the pencil. And don't ask me how I got the short end of the stick in this equation, because I was going to pick up the pencil, but I never got to throw it. Somehow, I don't know how I got cheated like that. The teacher confronts me and says, "Are you?" And her name was Miss Pruitt. She was a gym teacher. She says, "Why are you throwing this pen?" And I'm like, "Well, this pencil or whatever it was." And I said, "I wasn't throwing a pencil." Technically, I wasn't. And so I went throwing the pencil. And she's like, "Yes, you were." So I did like this to her. I walked away from her. And then she came up to me, like asked me again. Then I did like this, and I walked away from her. Now. Then it was over. And then I thought it was over. Then my auntie happened to be, aunties and my cultures are kind of scary sometimes. But my auntie came up and she told my aunt. Now, word got back to my mom, and let's just say, it didn't end well. It didn't end well for me because I didn't show my teacher the proper reverence. Brothers and sisters, in the same way, like David and the Israelites, sometimes we are guilty of not showing the triune God the proper reverence. So let's see what the scriptures teach us today about showing reverence to God. Now, you could hear people shouting and singing from miles and miles away. You could hear the cymbals playing. I don't know how to make a cymbal sound. You can hear the lyres playing. You hear drums playing. You could hear people shouting, and you would have seen people dancing. And it was a lot of folks. Scriptures say there was around 30,000 people that was all singing and dancing because it was making an entrance to the city of David in the settlement, which would later be known as Jerusalem. It was on its way there, and David wanted it there. And it was fitting that King David would want it there because King David had just saw Yahweh deliver him from a civil war. There was a civil war between the northern tribes that supported King Saul and the southern tribes that supported King David. There was a civil war, and God had delivered them from the civil war to give David a united kingdom. Also, David had just gave a good punch in the mouth to the Philistines. And the Philistines wouldn't bother them. They wouldn't be such a bother to them like they were in the time of Saul. So it was fitting that David would want it to come to his city at this point. So they were singing and they were dancing before it. And the it I talk about, brothers and sisters, is the Ark of the Lord. Now, this Ark, I'm gonna tell you why this should give us a cause to pause, was being carried on a cart. An oxen pulling it. Now, if you're an Israelite, that would give you cause to pause. And we're going to find out why later. Now, the ark, it was fitting that King David wanted the ark there because the ark represented God's rule, God's might, God's glory, and his presence. And David recognized that Yahweh was the true king of Israel, that his throne was established by him. So he wanted God's ark, God's presence, God's rule to be with him in the city of David, which was a stronghold, and the future settlement, which would be Jerusalem, which we know would be the place where God would actually set up his temple and inhabit and rule over Israel. So it was fitting that they were happy about it, and so they're singing and shouting, and then all of a sudden, silence. Around the ark, everybody was in a panic. They were looking down. They were like, come on, come on, somebody get him help. Somebody get him help. Somebody help him out. There was a man by the name of Uzzah and his brother Ohio. They were in front of the ark, and as they were pulling it along on the cart. Now, some say that they saw the oxen fall, and Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark, and then he got struck down. Others say that when the oxen stumbled, the top of the ark kind of opened, and Uzzah looked into the ark and kind of grasped the things into the ark. It's not really the way that it's being told. It's not really clear which one of those happened, but what we know is that the people of God were out of line because Uzzah had touched the ark, and if the people of God knew that this was out of the line, because remember I said an Israelite would have known that this was out of line because they had the book of Numbers. In the book of Numbers in chapter 4, what it told the people of God was, you were not to touch the ark. In fact, they were supposed to have the ark in poles, and they were supposed to be carrying it on their shoulders. So an Israelite would have known as soon as they heard that it was on a cart, yeah, this ain't gonna end well. So this is what happened. They weren't showing God the proper reverence for his presence, his glory, his might, and rule. And because they weren't showing the proper reverence, Uzzah ended up losing his life because he grasped onto the ark. Now, the thought that we may have for our mind in our modern mind is, wow, see, this is what I mean about God. He's so vengeful. He's so arbitrary. He just strikes people down willy-nilly. But here's a couple thoughts I want to give you. One, God had already told them how to handle the ark. And he told them that if you touched the ark, you would die. God had already given provisions and knowledge to his people to prevent Uzzah from dying. Number two, brothers and sisters, we know how to treat things with reverence. We do it all the time. Let me give you a thought. I own a Yamaha keyboard, and it's glorious. It runs on D batteries. It plays Livin' La Vida Loca. with the touch of the button. For a piano player that more plays the piano, not for performance, but more for like a hobby and for fun and never for public consumption, that is a perfect keyboard to have. I mean, it's nice, it's blue, it's blue, it's yellow, it's red. It's very cute. Now, let's say that Alicia Keys, we had her come and perform an event for us at Boulevard. Let's say that she was coming to help play the piano at worship. Thank you, Lord Cinder. All right, I'm saying. Anyway. let's say she's coming to be in with us in worship. We would not say, you know what we really should get for Alicia Keys to play on? We should go get Anthony's Yamaha keyboard, and we're going to keep, now, remind you, what keep the batteries in there is some duct tape. We're going to go get her that keyboard, and she's going to play on this keyboard. Everybody's laughing because we know that that's ridiculous. There's because you know why we know that's ridiculous? Because there's a certain level of reverence that we need to have for Alicia Keys' talent, her accolades, and her accomplishment as a musician and a vocalist. You just don't let Alicia Keys play on Yamaha. No, you go get, you. If you can find a grand piano and get it in here, you go get that, because that's Alicia Keys. That's right. So here's a question. If we know how to treat Alicia Keys with such reverence, Why is it so far-fetched to think that the creator of the universe should be treated with the same reverence? Just food for thought. Now, after Uzzah had been struck down for not showing God the proper reverence, David was mad. He got in, as I would say, he got in his feelings. And he was mad at God, and they called the place Perez Uzzah, which means breaking out against Uzzah. Now, David was mad, and then he was afraid. Man, do we fear God? It's good stuff. But he was afraid of the ark, and he sent it to a man named Obed-Edom's house. Now, when that ark got to Obed-Edom's house, this is what his neighbor said. Obed-Edom just invested, and he got triple fold back, bro. Hey, man, did you hear about Obed-Edom? Hey, man, like, everything that that brother is doing, it's prospering right now. He went and get that business deal over there down by, over there in Ephraim and them, and he got a return, man. Everything that a brother's, I took advice from him, and that thing didn't fall through the ground, and it worked out. So for 3 months, his neighbors was talking like that, and got back to King David that Obed-Edom's house was being blessed. Now, some say that Yahweh may have been trying to tell David something. Bruh, how you gonna do this without me? Just let me know that. some say that. Now, David hears this, and he says, I got to go get Yahweh and have him to be the center of my rule. And so they go to Obed-Edom's house, and believe it or not, I don't even know how you muster this much energy. They go get the ark, and it's a festive celebration. People are singing, dancing. David is, now I don't know how you accomplish this, but this lets us know that it was a long and festive day. The scriptures say that David, every sixth step, which tells me that they're actually doing it the right way this time, every sixth step with the ark, they would stop and they would do a sacrifice. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know how, back in those days, they didn't have cars. Brothers and sisters, that's a long journey. If you're doing all of that, that's a long time to be happy. And it makes me wonder. it gives me cause to pause. And this is, I wasn't even trying to make this application. I had another way it was going, but I'm going to make it. Do we think God is worthy of that much praise? When we look back at what he's done for us? That's for free. And so they're singing and dancing, and the scriptures say that King David is dancing with all his might. I just think of it's like doing Zumba times 10. He's going in. He's like, and brother must have some rhythm because it said that he was dancing with his. I wanted to see that. I just want to learn from him, man. I'm serious. But he's dancing with all this might. They're singing. They're praying. They're sacrificing. They're bringing the presence of the Lord into Jerusalem because they're recognizing that if Yahweh is not ruling alongside David, the nation will not prosper. So they're getting into the city. Now, as they get to the city, and then David, like, feeds the masses, because that makes sense if you have the people with you praising all day, you got to feed people. And so he feeds people. But scriptures say this. As they were entering the city, one person, believe it or not, the nerve, wasn't as happy. Everybody's singing and praising that Yahweh is finally coming into the city. But one person happened to be looking out of her window, and she saw King David dancing and praising God through the window. And the scripture says that she despised him in her heart. Now, a better translation of that would be, or not a better translation, here's something that the sense of the Hebrew brings out for us. She despised this man in her innermost being, meaning that every fabric of her existence despised David. It's like she just did not like him. She didn't like the brother. Some of y'all got people like that. Let's be real in here. So David enters the house. And when you a dude and you enter the house, you kind of know when you're in trouble with your wife. So he enters the house and he's in trouble with his wife. His wife's name was Michal. She was the one that despised him in her heart, hated him with their innermost being. And she happened to be the daughter of Saul. Now, if you're an Israelite hearing this story for the first time, you hear that Saul is that she's from the house of Saul, you know that this relationship probably isn't going to end well. And you'd have been right in your assessment. So David comes in after he's just brought the Ark of the Lord in. They set it up. He had a prepared place where they had set it up. He was entering into the house. And she said, my, how the king honored himself today, exposing himself like a common flasher to his maidservants. You really just honored yourself today, David. And David's response is so interesting to me. He says to her, baby, I'll make myself more detestable than that. What an interesting response. She just accused him basically of being a flasher, and he said, I'm going to make myself more detestable than that. But why would he say that? He says, I was a shepherd boy. I was out in the field. I came from nothing. Matter of fact, I was the last one in my family that was chosen to be king. And God chose me over your father's house and all the house of Israel. And he said, so I don't mind debasing myself because I know where God has brought me from. That's somebody's testimony this morning, that you don't mind the debasing yourself because you know that if God hadn't got you from where you were, you've been a low down, dirty shame. Amen? Amen. So he said, I'm going to get my praise on. Man, people of God, we need that. And so the scriptures say this. It says that Michal was without child until the day that she died. Brothers and sisters, that was a judgment of Yahweh against her. And that judgment against her in no way, shape, or form is saying that a woman's worth or a woman's value is wrapped up in having children or being a mother. It's a judgment for a specific person for a specific sin, and that sin was not showing Yahweh the proper reverence. And so God judged her for that particular incident. And it's also not to say that if you're in a place where you've been in a place where you've been trying to have children and it hadn't quite worked out, it's not to say that God has a judgment against you at all. That's not what this passage is communicating. This passage is communicating a simple principle for us, that when we don't show God the proper reverence, sometimes God cuts off certain blessings to us. And that leads us to our big point today. Brothers and sisters, Yahweh desires to be present as king. So we must show him reverence. Yahweh desires to be present as king. So we must show him reverence. And how do we show him reverence? By allowing him to rule over the areas that we sometimes don't like him to rule in. And it means that we have to, a lot of times, show him reverence. Showing him reverence means that we got to check our own agenda. For us as a church, we're pursuing a vision of Austin and Oak Park being together. And as God brings that vision to fruition, we're going to have to check our agendas. When non-white folks come in here, and they start bringing their culture, and it's, if you're a majority culture person, a brother and sister, and you start to feel uncomfortable, we might have to check our agenda. If you're a minority and you're coming in, into the church as we pursue this vision, there's a lot of ways we're not there yet, but God is moving in this church toward that direction. And there's going to be times where we're going to have to, as I can say we because I'm a minority, obviously, where we're going to have to trust God's agenda of reconciliation that says, I'm going to conform my church to the image of my son. And sometimes the call for us to check our own agenda is going to be to look toward God's purpose and God's plan to actually bring Boulevard Presbyterian where it needs to be in those situations. When it comes to cultural reconciliation, when it comes to ethnic reconciliation, we're also, over the years, as we reach Austin and Oak Park, the poor will be a part of our church. Do we want the poor to be a part of our church until it makes us uncomfortable? In our homes, if you're a parent, spouse, child, teenager, where God calls us to be have reverence is, if we're all honest, we want our homes to function in a way that bends toward our needs and not the needs of other people. Let's just be real. That we all have that guilty that I want this house to bend toward my needs. And if I can just kind of manipulate and maneuver, that things can kind of go my way. The call to have reverence in our home is that God asks us to check our agenda. If you're in our neighborhoods with our neighbors, is our home our personal retreat center, or is it an outpost of light for our neighborhood? Our homes are meant to be a retreat for us, but they're also meant to be an outpost. Jesus says, you're to be salt and light. On our social media, are we Christian on Sunday, but through the week, when you look at our social media posts, we pagan? Do we act like heaven on Sunday, but during the week, do we post like hell? Are we interested in how many, and this is all of us, this said, don't just look at the young folks, this is all of us in here. Are we more interested in the likes and followers that we have on whatever social media platform? I'm sorry, young folks, there's so much that I just can't keep up with. There's too many I'm trying to keep up. There's a lot of ways. Are we more concerned with how many likes and followers we get on our social media posts, or are we more concerned about following Jesus? Brothers and sisters, Yahweh desires to be present as a king in our lives, and we must show him reverence. And let's be real. All of us are guilty of not showing the proper reverence. And if not all the spheres, at least one of them. Yet there's hope for us. Ultimately, 2 Samuel looks forward to the ultimate Davidic ruler who would truly bring peace and prosperity to his people. It's David's true son and Yahweh's true son that fully represents what the ark meant. The ark was the symbol of God's rule, might, glory, and presence. Therefore, this Davidic king does not have to bring the ark into Jerusalem, because he himself would become the ark in which Yahweh, Israel's God, would rule the world. Colossians puts it like this, that it was in him that the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell. The way that he becomes ruler and enthroned over the Israelites, the way that God became ruler and enthroned over them, is that he delivered them from Egypt in a redemption they couldn't accomplish for themselves.
the way that the David's true son and Yahweh's true son gets enthroned over his people is he does a similar exodus where he confronts the enemies that can really get us, which is sin and death, to be enthroned over his people. Hallelujah. Yahweh's and David's true son accomplishes that exodus by dying on a cross, and God exalted him at his right hand, and he's enthroned over the earth through his resurrection. That's why Yahweh's true son and David's true son is the ultimate embodiment of the ark. Faith in David's true son and Yahweh's true son, Jesus, is the only way that we gain freedom to allow God to reign in the places we want to pursue our own agenda. Because his agenda makes our tiny little agenda feel really, really frivolous. Let us lean on David's true son and Yahweh's true son, Jesus, and trust his agenda.